Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, and we have several announcements. First of all, as we all know, as we're preparing for the confirmations in a few weeks, more information about that, more updates. But first, a reminder that this Saturday is the, after the 8:30 Mass, is the class, the instruction for the confirmands. Now, anyone may attend if you wish, but as you know, it's divided into two classes, those 12 and older, and then which Father Ward will instruct those of that age, and then one of the other priests for those under 12. So that's this Saturday after the 8:30 Mass. Now, some of you have already let us know who, those who are to be confirmed, you've let us know the name of your sponsor. So, anyone who has not chosen his or her sponsor for confirmation, we want you to do that this week. Okay? So, by next Saturday, have your sponsor chosen. If you have it today, that's fine, but also your confirmation name. And remember that, we'll give you a few details in a moment here, but the sponsor is like a second godparent. When you're baptized, you have a godmother and a godfather. In confirmation, you have a similar type person who sponsors you, who is your, in a way, an advocate. And when you choose your sponsor, it has to be someone, and here are some of the regulations. Some of this you already know, but it has to be someone who's already confirmed. They have to be 14 years of age or older. And they are not to be your parent, and they're not to be your godparent from your baptism. And they are to be of the same gender as you are. And they are not to be a husband or wife, if you're of that age. And then the confirmation name is to be one name of the same gender. And it is to be different from your baptismal name. And it is to be a saint. Seems pretty basic. So just remember that. So if you have a special devotion to a saint over all these years, you can choose that saint as your special protector, as your confirmation name. And if you have any questions about this, you can call us or email us. So remember, this week, give us your sponsor and your confirmation name, and then you can call it in, you can leave a message with the information, you can email us, you can write a letter. So that's on the sponsor and name information. Now we have the total for the amount for the to bring the bishop here and his stipend. So the part of his trip from the city he's coming from to here is going to cost $900. His stipend is going to be $1,000. So it's going to be a total of $1,900. And the other priest figured it out that it is for each person, each donating person here, which of course is everybody, but especially those who are being confirmed, is $20 per person. So each donating person gives $20, and if you can't, which does happen, we're in tough financial times, then give what you can. And if you can't give anything, don't worry about it. That's okay. And if those of you who would like to give more for this, the expenses and the stipend for the bishop, you can do that. And especially to defray the amounts that those who cannot give, if you want to help with that, that's fine. And if there's any extra over 1900, because we like full accountability here, that will be applied to the needs of the chapel. So those who, there are some who cannot give, so if you'd like to, you can do that. By the way, sometimes, and I have been in this situation, especially when I was giving the sacraments, offering Mass for a mission group in another state about 10 or 12 years ago, I had to give an announcement of many details. And for some reason, the people there thought that it was my announcement. Everything that I say and everything that is said from this pulpit is from the priests, and especially from Father Superior. So it is, just so you know that. And this next announcement especially is so. In the near future, there's going to be a separate appeal for assistance to buy chairs and a crucifix for the new hall. Do not, and I again repeat, do not give anything for anything, expenses for the hall at this time. What we're asking right now is just for the confirmation. So that'll be in the near future. Again, if you have any questions about these matters, which are in somewhat detail, about confirmation names and sponsors, you can ask us. And one reminder, and the priests, all of us remind the people this every so often, every year or two, but every Catholic is seriously bound to assist at Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. That's the first commandment of the Church, law of the Church, as you remember from your catechism. That means if you are, have you made, especially, but it's for those who have reached the age of reason, who have made their first Holy Communion, then you are bound to be in the chapel the entire Mass and to take care of your personal needs before or afterwards. That's the way it always was. That's the way it was at 8 years plus when growing up in the older days in the local parish when I went to Catholic school and the Catholic masses at the local parish. And that is especially on Sundays and holidays. If someone is ill, or if you have to, meaning have to, then you may leave. Only if you have to. Do not be walking around during the gospel, as we've announced this before. Father Superior announced this years ago. Gospel, that's why the fan is turned off. It's a solemn time of the Mass, so no movement in the chapel. Consecration, there's no movement. The communion of the priest. So this is a very serious obligation in terms of coming to Mass, but to assist. And now, just briefly, I will tell you a story. One of the seminarians was visiting his family in another state recently and went to Mass at a fraternity chapel last Sunday. I won't go into detail what he described, but he could barely follow the Mass because of the din and the noise of all the screaming infants. It's not the baby's fault. It's the priest's fault who's not making sure there's proper order in the church. And this has been going on since the apostles when there was disorder at the Mass, the apostles, the deacons, had to correct that. As St. Paul says, as you may remember on the epistle for Holy Thursday and for Corpus Christi, he says how people were eating, drinking, getting drunk during the Mass or right before the Mass. So that was corrected. But he said, the seminarian said, how much of a scandal it was because his relatives, non-Catholic or non-practicing Catholics, came with him as a courtesy to him, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. So here we have peaceful chapel, prayerful, reverent, and that means assisting in the correct way. And to take care of personal needs before or afterwards. And of course, if anyone is fainting or sick or anything else, that is obviously the time to leave or have someone help you. That's perfectly fine. But that is obviously the exception. And the parents should make sure their children understand that, because even though daily Mass is not the same obligation, it applies to daily Mass. You shouldn't walk out during the daily Mass just because it's not a day of obligation. So enough of that. And the last point we will mention are the saints this week. Tomorrow, the feast of the great Saint Mary Magdalene. And I know many people, I myself have and especially Father Simons, we have a devotion to Saint Mary Magdalene, because she, and many people identify with her because she was a great sinner who became a great lover and a great apostle, quote unquote, because of her attachment to Christ and her example for her fellow Christians. And then Thursday, St. James the Apostle, and also St. Christopher, commemoration of St. Christopher, patron of travelers. And then Friday, the Feast of St. Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the grandmother of our Lord. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted. And do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication. And there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished at the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also give you a way out, that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 47. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is maybe a reminder, or even better put, a warning to us, to all the faithful, to those outside the church, really to the whole world, to be ready for the second coming. Now, all of the Sundays after Pentecost describe different aspects of how the Holy Ghost inspires us, gives us grace by assisting at Mass, by giving us the grace to pray, and then giving us grace after we pray, and also special graces from hearing the epistle and the gospel and the other prayers of the Mass. So the epistle that St. Paul wrote to the people of Corinth is describing how foolish the people were, the chosen people were in the Old Testament. The Hebrew people separated from the enemies of the true God. And the reason they were separated is to protect them from sin and from going to hell, but also it is the story of what happened to them after Moses freed them, liberated them by God's power from the slavery, from the terrible situation they had in Egypt. So he took them on this journey in the desert, thousands, and performed many miracles to prove his protection, his divinity. He gave them bread from heaven, the manna. He gave them water from the rock. And unfortunately, what did they do with the gifts of God? They, almost every one of them, treated those gifts with contempt, with indifference, and they complained and murmured. They were complaining that God was giving them just bread from heaven. You find it hard to believe that these people who witnessed so many great miracles would have treated God and God's representative Moses with such indifference and even hatred. And when Moses went up onto the mountain, they, with the tacit approval of the brother of Moses, Aaron, they formed a golden calf. And they didn't actually adore the calf. They thought they made an image of God out of the gold, the jewelry of the women, which was a terrible crime. And so we see these people as really foreshadowing the rest of humanity and all of us in the church today. Because don't we often murmur and complain about the state of affairs, or even how we think God is treating us unjustly. God treats each one of us as if we were the only human being on the planet. He watches each one of us with loving care and protection. He gives us His Blessed Mother. He gives us a guardian angel. He gives us His body and blood, the Mass. The miraculous transformation of bread and wine into His body and blood. And how the vast majority of Catholics treat it with contempt and don't even believe in the miracle anymore. And this week, there's the scandalous and terrible abomination of World Youth Day in Brazil. Untold crimes go. It's sort of like a Mardi Gras, because it has a Catholic Mardi Gras, that's what it is. And just terrible things go on there. With the approval of church authorities and attendance at it. And then in the gospel we have the story of how our Lord, not too long before He is crucified, He's walking with His apostles and they are on a hilltop and they look over the city of Jerusalem and He begins to weep. He starts crying. Can you imagine our Lord weeping and seeing that? Because our Lord had the vision of what was going to happen to these people. That in a few short years, they were going to be, the whole city was going to be leveled by the Roman Emperor Vespasian and then Titus. They just surrounded it, as it says, with a rampart, and it was a siege. No food or supplies could get in. And the Jews resorted to cannibalism. They're eating their children. That's what happened. How terrible a thing. Because they would not submit. And they were punished for this in this way because of their treating the coming of Christ with such indifference. They did not recognize the visitation of Christ. Now everyone is looking directly at me, I hope. Eye contact. It's much easier to speak and to preach when everyone's looking directly at me for the whole talk. And here's what our Lord said, just to repeat a section of the gospel. If you had known in this your day the things that are for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes, God decided, because they treated Him with such contempt, He withdrew His grace because they were wasting it. What more could these people want than to have the Son of God appear for 3 years publicly and perform countless miracles and preach countless sermons? And most of them rejected Him. Most people in today's world reject our Lord. Treat Him with indifference or contempt, because what does it mean to be a true Christian, a true Catholic? It means that in your heart is the love of God, sanctifying grace, but you have the heart of Christ. Your faith is not just an external practice, or when you walk out the door here, the sins, abuses, faults or whatever don't just continue, that have been happening in your life. Every time you assist at Mass, it should be one step higher to heaven. And if we fall, that's why we have the sacrament of penance, to bring us back up. And as you can see the connection to the closing words of the gospel, our Lord walked into his house, his temple, and what did he see? He saw a marketplace. People shouting, yelling, animals being brought into for sacrifice, to be sold for sacrifice, money changers. He blew up. He turned over the tables, he got a whip and started beating all these salesmen and cleared out the church because it's God's house. And he had to establish order. But the beautiful thing and the beautiful doctrine that we often forget is what St. Paul says, going back to the epistle, how we're never tempted beyond our strength. Some time ago, I was reflecting on the words from the Our Father, the closing words, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I remember as a child thinking, why would God lead me into temptation in the first place? And I'm asking him, don't lead me into temptation. Now what that means is, everything that happens in our lives is either directly willed by God or by his permissive will. He permits something to happen, all for our greater good. He permits, by his will, temptations to come to us, whether they're from ourselves because of our bad habits, or from people we know or places we go to that are evil, or from the devil himself. The devil he is a speck of sand compared to the power of God. We should not fear him. We should fear God. But God permits temptation that we may be tested, that we prove ourselves before God. And why is this the case? Because that is what God has commanded. That is the way things are. That's the way it began with Adam and Eve. They were given a test, given all these gifts, great knowledge and power, and Adam was the master of the created world. And God gave them one little test, and both he and Eve failed. And he gives us countless tests to see if we're going to be faithful. So when we are tempted, we should not feel depressed. We should think, here's an opportunity to stand up for God's law. There's a beautiful painting of St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church, unequaled in the whole history of mankind, his knowledge and his of not only theology but philosophy. And when he was a young friar in the Dominican order, by the conspiring of his mother and his brothers, they hated that he was a Dominican. So they, as you know the story, we've mentioned it before, they got a prostitute to go into his cell, into his room. They kidnapped him and put this prostitute in this room to lead him into sin. What a temptation that was. What did the saint do? There's a fireplace there. He took out a stick that was burning and chase the woman out. And the painting shows him exhausted because of the terrible temptation he had undergone. And he is kneeling down, almost asleep. And there are two angels on either side of him, which happened. One is holding him up and comforting him. And the other one is at his side, showing that he was the one that chased this evil woman away. And it is a very moving painting, because that he is us. We are tempted every day. And how are we going to respond? That we shouldn't get depressed and sad. It is a time to rise up. That's why we are confirmed. To give us the strength to be a soldier and not to cave in every time we have a temptation. And as it says here, God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. That's the grace of God. Call upon the holy names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph when you're in temptation. To say something you want to say, or to get angry, or to give in to any type of vice. Impure or evil thoughts, or stealing, or lying, or hitting someone, or treating the things of God with contempt, or skipping Mass, or having bad desires. The temptation is not what's evil, it's when you consent to it. In fact, you can actually be a holier person by successfully, with God's grace, overcoming the temptation and fleeing from it. You've passed one more test to get to heaven. That's what it is. And God is always there for us with his grace and the help of Our Lady. That's why she has her hands extended. Isn't that what a mother does? When the child is looking at her and needs help, she puts out her hands. "I will help you," she says. So this is the Sunday of sort of a reminder, a throwback to Lent, how to deal with temptation and vices and not to consent to it. And to maybe summarize it in the post-communion of this Mass. May the communion of your sacrament, we beseech thee, O Lord, both purify us and grant us unity in your service. So it's the Holy Communion purifies us of any other stains or faults we may have. And then it says unity in service to God. Unity among ourselves. May God bless you.